And our job for the new building doesn't change. The same community, the same people we're trying to reach, the same mission we've had for 20 years in this property just moves a little bit south on our property. And so my challenge for you before the sermon, this is a pre-sermon, is the verse, I believe it's Romans 10:15. How beautiful are the feet of those who share the good news of Jesus Christ. Guys, people want to come and see the newness of the building, and we want to hit them with the goodness of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Invite. Now turn to Luke chapter 6. We've got to talk about resting. In this building, I've been the lead on the team, and many of us have been on this team, but there's been questions that have been asked that I had no idea would ever go into a new building. And so, what color do you want this? What should this look like? And we've had good people around us, but it has been a lot of work. It's been fun work, but for me, it's been every day for the last couple months. Every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, just go, go, go. And I'm reminded about how God has set aside a holy day where there should not be any work that takes place. And although I've missed that a little bit from time to time, I pray that we all as a congregation set aside a day just like today where we worship the Lord and we rest. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus is getting his group together. He's been teaching for about a year now. He's been sharing the good news about the new kingdom that's coming. People are following. He's healing people, and it's an exciting time, but we're still in an Old Testament setting. Luke is in the New Testament in the Bible, but it's still an Old Testament setting because the New Testament really doesn't begin till the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So all the formation of church and the temple and the synagogue, everything like that is still Old Testament at this time. And Jesus is coming in and saying, hey, everything that you've known is going to change. And nobody got it. And he's sharing with them, hey, this thing that you have, it's going to be a little bit different. And as Jesus brought these things in, it wasn't received very well by the religious leaders that were already there. And one of the things that he brings in is a new understanding of the Sabbath. So let's read Luke chapter 6, starting in verse number 1. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to some of those that were with him. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the harvest. Point number one this morning is you must rest. You must rest. Rest. And so if you're taking notes today, you must rest. Some of you are thinking, man, this is the greatest sermon that I need to hear right now. Tell my kids to leave me alone on the weekend. Tell my wife I don't need to mow the lawn. Tell the neighbors to leave me alone. And let me just sit one day on the couch and do absolutely nothing. I'm glad I didn't hear an amen, because that's not what the Sabbath is all about. We do need those days from time to time. But the Sabbath is a day devoted to God. It says they were plucking some kernels. And so when you and I first read this, we're thinking, man, these disciples are stealing from their neighbors. Like, what are they doing? Until you understand that just in that time, that if you were hungry, you didn't have a Chick-fil-A, right? When do you crave Chick-fil-A? Sundays, right? I'm telling you guys, for the next 12 hours, that's all you're going to think about. Is the Chick-fil-A sauce that could go on that spicy chicken sandwich and the waffle fries. Best sweet tea, am I right? Best sweet tea around? Yeah. Best customer service? Yeah. Chick-fil-A. Sorry, guys. 45 minutes of your stomach rumbling. But so when you think about that, they didn't have restaurants and stuff to go to quickly. And so if you're out and about and you're hungry, you could go through your neighbor's field, their vineyard, or whatever they had, and you could pluck stuff off. You could eat it. You just couldn't harvest it with like a bucket, or you couldn't have a sickle knocking stuff down. But if you're a little hungry, you walk through your neighbor's, you take a little food, and chances are someday your neighbors will walk through yours and grab some food. And so this wasn't stealing. We even see in Deuteronomy 23:25, there's nothing wrong with this. This is just something normal. But the Pharisees were looking for problems. Do you realize that sometimes we can make up our minds about someone or something, and then we find evidence to back up our feeling? I don't like that person, and I don't know why, but I'm going to find a reason I don't like that person. This is where the Pharisees were. The Pharisees were getting their attention stolen by Jesus, and they didn't like it one bit. And he said, we don't like this guy who has power to heal. We don't like this guy who has the greatest teaching that we've heard, and we don't like him, so we're going to find something bad about him because he's not going to obey some of our man-made rules. Well, we're going to see the rules that Jesus breaks are not rules that God created. It's rules that Pharisees put upon people to make it harder for them to sin. Know that we shouldn't work on the Sabbath. It is the holy day. And we believe if you take more than 300 steps, it's considered work. Therefore, don't take more than 300 steps. And you really couldn't leave your central area. You know, we'd have other rules of what you could and couldn't do on that rule, not designed by God, but enforced by the people who were representing him at that time. And so I want to go through a couple misconceptions that sometimes we don't understand about the Sabbath. And we think about the Sabbath, we think that's an Old Testament principle. Like, we see it happens, it's instituted in Exodus chapter 20. Those are the Ten Commandments there, and we read that it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and you shall do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord God. In it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your maidservant or your manservant or your cattle or your sojourner who is with you at your gates. For 6 days the Lord made heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Don't answer this question, but do we still obey the Ten Commandments? And before you call me a heretic, we do not. We do not follow the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments says, you shall not commit murder. The New Testament, Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 7, it says, if you hate someone in your heart, it's just as if you'd murder them. In the Old Testament, I could hate all of you, right? I could hate every one of you Buckeye fans, but I was still good because I didn't murder you. Pray for me. It's going to be a rough year again. New Testament says not only can you not murder, you can't hate. You can't have evil. You can't have this vile in your heart. Old Testament says don't commit adultery. New Testament says if you look at lust at another person, or if you look and covet something that they have, that is sinful. So I believe that Jesus took the Ten Commandments and said, hey, those are the ten, but let me make them a little more difficult for you in the New Testament understanding and principles. And so we see the Sabbath. Do I believe that we have to follow the commandment that it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Not the Ten Commandment. But we remember in Genesis chapter 2 where Jesus sets the example. In Genesis chapter 2, God creates in 6 days. And was God tired? No. But he sets the example for us that on the seventh day, we rest and we make it holy because it is his day. This is a day that we come back and we worship what he has. So the truth of this misconception is God knows us, right? God created us. He knows us, and he wants what's best for us. So he tells us once a week to take a break. Take a break physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and give it to God, for it is his day to have. You know, in the Old Testament, we see these covenants, these contracts that God makes with his people. We see Noah. We see, really, Adam starts off. It says Noah. Abraham is the one we really know. It's called the law. And he says, listen, if this nation of Israel, and he makes one with them, if you will be obedient to me, I will bless you. But if you're not obedient to me, I'm going to punish you. And it sounds good, it sounds bad, but I think it's a great contract that he made with them, because if he didn't punish them when they fell away, guess what? They would stay away forever. But they noticed when they fell away from God, other armies, other nations would come in and attack them, take them captive sometimes, or just punish them. And they would remember, oh my goodness, we're supposed to worship the God of our fathers, the God the Creator. And they would repent and be restored. And so we see the Old Testament contract that God has with the nation is, if you listen to me, I will bless you. The New Testament contract we have, guys, be thankful we're living in the New Testament. I know the commandments become a little bit harder, but here's the New Testament commandment. It's called grace. I'm gonna bless you whether you deserve it or not. This thing that Jesus did on the cross, like, none of you deserve it, I don't deserve it, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. And you can have a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's not, if you do good, I'm gonna bless you. If you do bad, I'm gonna curse you. Now, generally in life, that's what's gonna happen. We're gonna feel the pain of sin. We're gonna feel the pain of being separated from God a little bit in a relationship standing, not in a salvation standing. We're gonna feel that. We're gonna feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which Old Testament didn't have, which is a gift to us so we don't stay involved in sin. But the New Testament thing we got going on here of grace is a pretty cool thing that we have. And so we see that Jesus responds to this thing that they're saying, hey, what are you doing sinning, going through this really farm and eating some of this stuff that you shouldn't? And Jesus responds, first of all, he could have been like, hey, the whole point of Sabbath is follow me, and you guys are missing it. But he says, listen, what would be better? David and his men who are about to die from starvation. Once again, what's not available on Sunday mornings? Chick-fil-A. They didn't have Chick-fil-A's there. Not available. He says, what's better, to eat the food that's consecrated at the temple for the high priest, the priestly family, that they shouldn't have eaten, or should we let them die? And we see that Jesus always says it's better to do good on the Sabbath than to hold on these little rules. Another misconception that we have is the Sabbath is a burden. Man, why can't I work 7 days? Think about Chick-fil-A. This is going to be the Chick-fil-A sermon. It's on my mind. It's in my belly. Like, it's just there, right? They lose 20% of their business by not being open today. 20% is the busiest day. And they lose 20% of their business by being closed and giving their community, giving their family a day of rest. And it seems like a burden, but it's a gift. The Pharisees made it a burden. Remember the list, you can't do this, you can only take so many steps, here's what you can't do. Where Jesus says, I just need to make it a rest. Like, God the Father and I, we created you, and we know what's best for you, and you need to rest. I know not everyone can rest on a Sunday. I know there's people that'll watch us later in the week. I know we have people that work in hospitals. I know we have people that work in different areas of the medical field, in different places where Sunday can't be your day of rest. What I'm trying to tell you is the New Testament principle of the Sabbath doesn't have to be Friday sundown to Saturday sundown like they did in the Old Testament, but it can be that day of rest where you focus and you worship our Lord and Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I also think that when we have this physical rest, we can have an emotional rest. How many people have ever turned off like their computers and social media just for a few days or for a few moments at some point? Yes, we need that emotional cleansing from everything else. When we're on social media, sometimes we have one of two responses is of, oh my goodness, I can't believe that happened to them. I feel so bad for them. I wish that didn't happen to them. Or, oh my goodness, I can't believe they got one of those. I want one of those. What do I have to do to get one of those in my life? And it's difficult because we just have these ups and downs in what we see that's out there. We see the best of what other people have to offer. And when we take those things out of our lives, even for a day, it allows us to refocus on God. As I said before, Sabbath is a gift from God to rest and to connect with God. I like what it says there in the end of verse, I believe number 5. It says that the Son of Man, which is his messianic title, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Guys, I don't think you could have picked a better thing to do with your day on Sunday morning than to be here. And it's not about me speaking. It's not about who's singing. It's about your commitment to refocusing on God. Generally on Sunday mornings, you're not going to learn life-changing, transformational truths if you've been in church for 30, 40 years. We saw a lot of people have life-changing moment last week. If you missed last week, you probably missed one of the greatest services this church has ever had. We saw the impact still rolling through of one of our most watched online services by 5 times the normal amount. I met a man Tuesday that just broke down and shared his testimony of how he gave his life to God. But to think about the goodness that God has given us in this building and the testimonies that even in difficult times of how God was with them was one of the most powerful Sundays we've ever had. The only thing I feel bad for was Kathy back here playing the piano for 45 minutes. I don't know if she's up there today, but I'm imagining she's got carpal tunnel syndrome, and we should have a button that just goes repeat and you can stand there, but I'm sure that's there. But anyways, when you come here on Sunday morning, you're making it a commitment. Families, when you get your kids dressed, like if a family gets here for the 9:15 service with kids, there should be awards for them, right? You should get like a gold star or a ribbon or like a free cup of coffee or something because it is difficult. But you know what you're doing? You're telling your kids that, you know what, going to church is an important thing. It's part of our life. It allows us to be stronger the other 6 days of the week. And children, if you're in here, if your dad tells you to cut the lawn today, you tell him today's the Sabbath. It is my day of rest. And then email me and let me know how that goes. I love to worship in my car. I love to sing because no one can hear me. But there's something different about worshiping with 1,000 believers together. There's just something different. It's not like the Holy Spirit isn't here sometimes, and sometimes he is. You can feel him a little bit more from time to time, but the Holy Spirit's always with us. And when we come together and we sing on Sunday morning, whether you like the music, you don't like the music, it's powerful. It's the preaching, it's the powerful music. And you know what I like some of the most? And maybe this is wrong and I need to be more dedicated, but you know what I like? I like seeing you guys in the hall. I like saying, hey, even if it's just for a minute, I love my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. This is refreshing for me. You introverts, I apologize. It's not refreshing for you to be with believers, but you know what? We're called to live in community, so suck it up and move on. Amen? The Sabbath is a gift from God. And we see the narrative of Luke chapter 6. It doesn't say if it's the next Saturday or a couple Saturdays later, but it says they roll into another Sabbath. And we pick it up here in, I believe, verse number 6. It says, on another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath so they might find a reason to accuse him. Hold on, before I keep reading. How evil are the Pharisees that they want to get Jesus in trouble for healing someone? Can you imagine if we're going to come up here and see if someone's going to get their life restored on a Sunday? Because that would be work if a pastor counseled them. We're going to see if you restore a relationship with someone. Like, this is what church should be all about. This is what the Pharisees should have begged for in their life. In fact, I would have been scared of Jesus who had the power to heal someone, that he probably would have had the power to make someone's life a little difficult, right? If he has the power to heal someone, doesn't he have the power to make someone's life pretty hard? Just a side note, back to scripture. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood, and Jesus said to him, I ask you, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them, he said to them, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. What they might do to Jesus. Jesus says, is it better to do good or bad on the Sabbath? Listen, the day of rest is something we need in our lives. But we also need you to stack the chairs 6 high and help us move into the new building, right? There is certain advantages to coming to first service. You guys don't ever do that. but it's always good to do good on the Sabbath. A side note, you ever notice when Jesus heals, he doesn't say, hey, look, you're healed. You know what he does? He says, stand up. He goes, stretch out your arm. I think that individual had the choice right then and there. If he'd have said, no, I'm not going to stretch out my arm. You don't know what you're talking about. Maybe there's stories we don't hear about where people didn't receive healing because they didn't believe Jesus and they didn't stretch out their arm. I wonder if there's people in this congregation today that maybe haven't experienced healing in their life, haven't experienced that miracle because they haven't acted in faith. They're just waiting for Jesus to do something in their lives, and Jesus saying, you just need to trust me. You need to stand up. You need to stretch out your arm, and when that little act of faith happens, then you will receive the healing that you need to have. It seems like the faith and the healing always has some sort of action that goes with it. I think the saddest point of this story is these Pharisees loved the Word of God. They were doing their best, they thought, to honor the Word of God. This hasn't happened to me every day, but it seems to be happening more and more in my life, where you look for your glasses or your keys. Yep, and they're on your head or in your pocket. Wait till you're on your cell phone talking to someone looking for your cell phone. Hey, I'll call you back in a minute. I got to find my cell phone. Don't raise your hand if you're there, but if you are, just nod your head. The Messiah was right in front of them. Guys, we don't have that privilege. We have the privilege of reading the stories about the Messiah. They had Jesus Christ right in front of them, and they missed it. I think that's the saddest part of this narrative. The Messiah, the one they hope would come one day, is there healing, teaching, and they want nothing to do with him. They want to run him out of town. Point number one this morning is we must rest. Point number two is we must invest. Guys, you're going to love point number three. It rhymes. Like, I've never done a rhyming sermon. I'm pretty excited about this. We must invest. I'm not talking about finances, but just to show you what investments could do, if you had $1,000 in 1980 and you put it in this stock called Apple, it would be worth $1.2 million. That's not as bad as in 2010, a guy from Florida by the name of Laszlo Hainacek or something like that ordered two extra large pizzas from Papa John's. Lots of toppings on them. Total was about $35, $40. He had just received this weird thing called cryptocurrency, Bitcoin something. And he says, you know what? I have this. I'm just going to use that to pay for the pizza. Well, Bitcoin was very, very cheap at the beginning. So he used his 10,000 Bitcoins to buy two large pizzas from Papa John's. The equivalent of 10,000 Bitcoins would be today about $300 to $400 million. If you're having a bad day, just remember there's a person down in Florida who spent $400 million on two extra large pizzas from Papa John's. Oh my goodness. I think one of the greatest investments you can make is understanding the Word of God. It was written for us, it was written to us. And it's not just head knowledge, but it's how we live our lives. It's what makes our lives better. And I'm going to say, if you open up your bulletin, you're going to see what this next point is all about. Find a place to get plugged in. If you really want to make the Sabbath day the day that is holy, you really want to revolve your life around God, it doesn't just happen by coming here on Sunday mornings, but there's more to it. Because guess what? You can come to church and leave and never fill out a communication card, never get involved in a group, and guess what? You can't live the 61 another's that we're called to do in Scripture. You can't pray for one another. You can't bear one another's burdens. You can't do these other selves by yourself as an individual Christian. The church I grew up in, we were our own small group. Like, if you didn't show up that Sunday, you got a phone call, not like being mad, like, what happened, but just like, hey, you weren't at church? Is everything okay? Like, are you guys sick? Can we pray for you? My wife told me last week that she's been sitting over here for the past year and a half, she moved over here to this, and she met like four new families, right? You can go to a different service. We don't know where you're at or what's going on, but when you get involved in a group, you're investing into your spiritual foundation. It's not the spiritual foundation in your life, but it kind of becomes those guardrails that help hold you up and makes it harder for you to fall. You got to find your church within the church. And we've got a bunch of them that are listed there. And I just want to remind you that in 2 Peter 3:18 is why we do the groups that we do here at the church. That you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want you to do five different things real quick. My five W's, you hear them every August. So if you think you've heard these before, great, you have. And guess what you hear next August and the August after that is the importance of being involved in a group. We start right after Labor Day, and we believe that everybody in service, everybody in church should be involved in a group. And we want everyone to feel welcome. There's that old saying, you want to go where everybody knows your name? That happens in your group, not in main service. And we want you to find a group that works for you. We've got we're offering about 30 or 40 open groups right now that are in the bulletin. And these are people that want new people in their groups. They want to find it. And guess what? It's going to take some investment. We know investment, you put money down and you don't see money back right away. It takes a long time. Sometimes it takes a long time for that to come and make a profit. It's going to take some effort to find a group. The first group you go to may not be the group you end up in. Find a group. Give the time. Maybe cut other things out of your life so you can find time to get involved in a group. In our groups, we ask them about twice a year to do something, whether that's helping out the widow down the street that needs their lawn mowed, going to the Stowe Center, warm, a lot of different things that we have options for. And you can do that inside the church, outside the church, just make a difference in your community some way. Worship, we want you to worship. Does that mean you gotta have Carrie and the choir come to your house? I mean, you could set something up, like they could come to your house and 80 of them sit on your front lawn and sing to you every Wednesday or Tuesday night. Check with Carrie on that. Or he could just give you a CD and you can play it. But you know what worship is? Worship isn't just singing. Worship is telling God he's worthy. God, you're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our resources. You're worthy of our commitment. You're worthy of our time so we can understand you and your word more. We do that through prayer. God, you're worthy. We love you. We praise you. And I think that's one of the most powerful ways we worship God is by giving praise back to him, by telling him he's worthy. We witness the things we hear in our groups we share with other people. And I like what it says in 2 Timothy 2:2. These things you've heard me tell to other people who are listening, tell leaders who will teach other people. It's like a whole group of four or five people that will be heard through this part where we don't just keep what we learn in our group, but we share it. I think one of the most powerful witnesses that I've heard happened this last Tuesday. It was this big, strong, looked like a WWF wrestler, just man, beast of a man, like someone you do not want to upset because things would go wrong. And you could just tell that he looked tough. And I was like, hey, what are you doing up at the church here? And he's like, oh, I'm meeting Pastor Frank, and I think he's taking him to lunch. And usually you don't know that. You're taking him to lunch, but whatever. We'll figure that out. And Frank comes by, he goes, give me 1 second, but hey, tell Scott about it real quick. I go, tell me about what? He goes, I've never done the church thing, and I'll give you the abbreviated version and the clean version. I've never really done church, and things aren't going on well in my life. He goes, but I just felt like I needed to go to church, so I went 2 weeks ago, and it was okay. I went the week before, it was all right. But this past Sunday, that whole thing that went on where people were talking, God was just speaking to my heart, and I'd known the truth. God has set the truth in my life before. I just never really accepted it. And so if you know at the end of service last week, and when all the testimonies were over, Pastor Frank, as he always does, gives the gospel presentation, but he goes, I'm going to do something different. He goes, we've had all these people give their testimony. If you're accepting Christ today, I want you to give your testimony by standing up. And he goes, I stood up. And he goes, the first time I've told people that I'm a follower of Jesus. And I sit here and watch this guy 2 days later, beast of a man, weeping with tears, saying, I can't believe the goodness of God and how he would want something to do with me. And I think about that powerful witness. He didn't give me the Romans Road. He didn't mention mentioned John 3:16. He didn't do any of those points. He just shared the goodness of what God has done in his life, and that is the most powerful witness I've heard in years. Oh, if we're going to praise God, let's give us some praise. Now, I didn't ask him if I could say it, so if you see someone beating me up in the parking lot. And he went on to say it's made a life and a difference in his life with his family, his wife, and his kids just in a matter of 48 hours. God can do great things. Finally, the Word of God. If you're in a group and you're not opening up the Word of God, you're just in a pinochle club. You're not in a Bible study. The Word of God is powerful. We have many resources for you. We'd like to share with you some of those. And, you know, my group has changed over the years. They've been with me through the highest points of my life and the lowest points of my life. And it's great to have people around you that are like-minded with that. I'm going to close out service here, and Kathy, if your fingers don't hurt, we're going to ask you to come up here and play. I don't really have another point, but I wanted to share this because I thought it was cool. You must rest, you must invest, so that you can be blessed. Is that, come on now, come on. Thought of that all by myself. Honestly, I saw Wayne, I was like, oh yeah, blessed, we'll get blessed in there. Right? My prayer isn't that you would be blessed, but my prayer is that you will see the blessings you already have in your life. We're excited for this new building. I'm going to miss this one a little bit. Not enough to stay another week. But my four kids were baptized up there. Awesome. Like, how awesome is that? Prayed for healing for my wife from a rare cancer 7 years ago. I make fun of Chrissy and Matt for crying, and then the last three times I preached, I've cried. I got to man up. Real men cry. Saw healing for my wife. I look at these coffee stains on the carpet, and probably 17 of them are mine. Guys, whether we have a new building or not, we're blessed. We're blessed to be a part of a great community, a great church, and we're blessed to have a relationship with God. Amen. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. I thank you for the love that we don't earn, we don't deserve, but you just give freely to us as your children. God, we've talked about a lot of stuff today. And Lord, if there's anybody in here that's never began a relationship with you today, I pray that they will do that. Just simply by saying, God, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I believe in your son, Jesus. And I ask him into my life right now. I pray that as people say that, as they reach out to you, God, that they would understand the new beginnings they have only found in you. God, for the rest of us that are here, and maybe there's people that are here that come to church once a month and this just happened to be the day. God, I pray that we would all make a commitment to give you one day a week. That not only we rest, but we refresh with you. God, I pray that we go deeper and invest by being plugged into a group. And Lord, that we would see the blessings that are all around us. God, we love you. We thank you for the blessings we do have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.